A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Emperor Frederick II, his crowning, and his preparation for a new crusade. Frederick II is sometimes considered the last of the true emperors. His struggle with the papacy was the climax of the imperial-papal struggle. His ultimate failure resulted in the papacy's distrust of emperors in general, and in their secret desire to ally themselves with the French and Spanish against the German emperors. Thereafter, the title of emperor was little more than just that, a title. So feeble were the emperors in authority that one pope would even dare to declare himself emperor. The countries of Europe would remain unified under the banner of the Holy Roman Empire, but it was the papacy that ruled that empire, not the emperors. Before this fateful day, however, Frederick II would fight a long and protracted war against the papacy. He would openly declare the popes to be antichrist and use prophetic utterances, while at the same time silencing dissident Christians, who alone could have purged the church of its corruption and power. Like Barbarossa, his grandfather, he assured his own failure by his proud arrogance and unwillingness to see beyond the imperial crown. He fought solely for his crown, not for the freedom of Europe. He sought only his own ambitions, even as his enemies did. Frederick II's reign was one of the great sagas of the Middle Ages, but is also a reminder of why emperors died out so many years later. They proved little different or better than the papacy. The people's choice was between a tyrant pope or a tyrant emperor. They were forced to choose between two different types of monarchies. Arnold of Brescia's dream of a republican democracy would have to wait. The English dream of the Magna Carta would not find it drawn until Cromwell. Frederick's dream was less noble. Now, the events of the Eastern world were crying out to the West. When Frederick II received his crown at Aachen in 1215, he had spontaneously promised to go on a crusade to reclaim the Holy Land, but he did not. He declared that he would go when he had put his affairs in order, but it would soon be clear those affairs would take years, and they would take clear precedent over the crusade he had promised. Although Frederick II had promised to turn Sicily over to his son Henry, he instead made him king of Germany and set out to make a monarchy of Sicily. He began to ensure that all officers, officials, soldiers, and administrators were accountable to the king alone. The new pope was not happy. When Innocent died, he had been replaced by Frederick II's former tutor, Honorius III. Honorius reminded Frederick that he had promised to keep Sicily separate from the imperial crown, and he had promised to lead a crusade. After much stalling and delays from Frederick, Honorius set a mandate for Frederick to keep his vow by 1217. The date that he declared, the Fifth Crusade, must be prepared to depart. He believed the disturbances in the East far outweighed anything in the West. Even the newly established Latin Empire of Constantinople was on the verge of crumbling. Baldwin of Flanders had become the first Latin Emperor of Constantinople soon after the conquest of the Fourth Crusade. But the people of Constantinople had not forgotten the atrocities that had been committed by the Crusaders, nor did they forgive the arrogant Pope, who now outlawed Greek worship and required all citizens to practice the Catholic form of worship. Baldwin had also seized lands from Greek nobles and distributed those lands to his knights. Soon the Greek people of the Latin Empire were plotting revolt with the aid of the king of Bulgaria, Kalojan, also called Kalyan. The emperor was caught unaware. When the revolt occurred, many of the Latins were slaughtered, and the word came of the advance of a large army led by Kalojan with 14,000 mercenary Comans. The Comans were the last pagan barbarians in the region near Moldavia. They were said to be so savage that they drank the blood of their victims and sacrificed Christians on the altars of their gods. Baldwin called his brother, Count Henry, for reinforcements, but didn't wait for them to arrive. He was captured in battle and later died in prison, his arms and legs having been hacked off. Count Henry was able to secure Constantinople from the invaders and managed to keep several key cities. He defeated the Bulgars and eventually forced the Emperor of Nicaea to sign a peace treaty. More importantly, he was able to gain the trust of many of the Byzantine people. He treated them with mercy and even spared some of the revolting cities on the condition that they did not assemble any large numbers of armed men. The Byzantines themselves were growing fearful of the barbarity of the Bulgarians, and the new moderate Emperor Henry seemed like a better alternative. Henry also entered a marriage alliance with a Bulgarian princess, and even allowed the Greeks to occupy certain positions of authority in the court and in the clergy, all of which had Pope Honorius III very disturbed. Ambassadors were sent to and from Rome in hopes of convincing the Pope that the goodwill of the people was essential to the survival of the Latin Empire of Constantinople. Honorius did not agree. His legate, Pelagius, forbade Greek worship practices, creating forced tithing to the Roman Church, and further oppressed the Greek Orthodox Church. Henry tried to mediate, but constantly refused to cede Greek church lands to the Pope, which further antagonized the papacy. His death is suspected from having been poisoned, although the medievals were never able to tell poison from one of the many diseases that plagued the lands. This itself made poison the primary choice of assassination. If he was poisoned, it was most likely, the most likely suspects were Latins rather than Greeks. In either case, the kingdom was again left without an emperor. Henry left no heir, but his sister Yolanda was married to Count Peter of Courtenay. Peter began the long trek across Europe to claim the crown, stopping in Rome along the way. There, Peter became the only emperor of Constantinople to be crowned by the Pope. However, this new emperor would never make it back to the famed old city. He was captured along with the Roman legate, held by Theodore, the despot of Epirus, in 1217. Honorius condemned Theodore, but eventually negotiated only for the release of his legate, in exchange for which Theodore was pardoned for his sins. It would be two more years before official word came of Peter's death, having had his arms and legs hacked off as well. In the meantime, Yolanda served as regent in his absence. The Latin Empire of Constantinople was crumbling as after less than 15 years. In Palestine, the kingdom of Acre fared little better. The promised Fourth Crusade never made it to Palestine, and the armies of the King of Jerusalem, as they continued to call themselves, were too meager to do anything much more than maintain their already tenuous positions along the Mediterranean coasts. The West had many problems of its own as well. In England, the French Dauphin Louis had invaded England to claim the throne, while a minority council governed in the name of John's son, Henry III, who was but 9 years old. It would not be until September of 1217 that Louis admitted failure and agreed to withdraw at the command of Pope Honorius. In Languedoc, the Albigensian Crusades started up again as the Raymond family seized several of Simone's cities and castles with the eager support of the citizens. The wicked Simon retaliated by taking Toulouse by force, imprisoning most of its people, taxing the rest, and stripping them of their freedoms and often their property as well. When Honorius III ordered Simone to release Raymond Roger, Simone blatantly defied the Pope and continued the brutal oppression of the people, including a coup by which he claimed sovereignty over part of Aragon of Spain. Despite the defiance of the Pope's edict, Honorius did nothing. For Honorius, these domestic issues were unimportant. It was to the east that he looked. Now, next time, we're going to talk about the crusade that's going to be sent off to the east. So that should be a relatively short one because it's, of course, a massive failure. The sources for this include The Germanic People, Their Origins, Expansion, and Culture by Owen. The Barbarian West, 400 to 1000 AD by Wallace Hadrill. History of the Barbarian Celts, Vandals, Sarmatians, Scythians, Goths, Huns, and Anglo-Saxons, and Attila and the Nomadic Hordes by Nicole and McBride. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.